Good evening, everybody. James McKenna here with my Science Hour. This is for February 23rd, 2023. I'm going to be talking a lot about cyclonic storms, from little teeny ones up to great big ones. And this is a topic that, of course, I've covered for years and years, but there's some specific storms that I want to talk about this evening. Starting out with, this was requested by a listener from New Zealand. And there was a storm there, a cyclonic storm named Gabrielle. And I really did not have time to look into this storm at all, but the claims that are being made apparently on the internet is that this was a man-made storm. What happens today, and I did not have time to look into this specific storm, but they say it strengthened greatly as it made landfall. Now, typically a storm should be losing energy as it makes landfall because, simply put, it's shorting out. What's happening is it's the front edge of the storm, which was lacking a short circuit to ground, actually was connecting with the ionization above the ocean, and that was completing the circuit from the vertical electric field to the ionosphere. And so as it makes landfall, that electrical circuit then connects to ground and shorts it out, and that's why hurricane, cyclonic storm, etc., why they lose energy as they approach land. I recount the story. One time I was watching this news reporter, this guy, a newsman, weatherman, meteorologist, as they are called, who they really don't know anything. They're weather readers, what they do. They read what they're told to read. They're standing in front of a green screen and reading off a teleprompter. But anyway, this guy goes off script, which, you know, is bad news anytime any of these government or, you know, shills type people go off script. So anyway, he's describing this hurricane that comes into Yucatan, Mexico, which is one of the flattest places on Earth. I mean, I've been there. I spent a lot of time there. And it is flat, flat as a pancake from the shore inwards. But anyway, he says, and this hurricane lost a lot of energy very quickly when it made landfall. And there's a big continental shelf off of there also, which helps short out that the circuit. But anyway, he says, yes, and the great mountains of Yucatan stopped this hurricane. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, these people that go off script, like I say, like any politician, like any trained bozo that does the government bidding. Anyway, just amazing. And I've seen so many of these weathermen go off script or introduce, this is the other thing they'll do, is introduce new terms, like this idea of polar vortex. What a ridiculous thing. We've had polar vortexes forever, and all of a sudden now we have polar vortexes. And all it is a low-pressure cell that drags the cold weather down across Canada and into the United States, which, by the way, is happening right now. I'll be talking a little bit about that later on. But back to the New Zealand cyclone, they call them over there. It's really a hurricane. Cyclone, typhoon is another term they use in the North Pacific. If it's in Japan or China, it is called a typhoon, but they're all the same storms. But this particular one was called Gabriella. And then what happens is the control disinformation sites that are talking about chemtrails, and these people really have a lot of people snookered. They're talking about chemtrails. I won't mention any names, but you will know who I'm talking about. Or they also talk about HAARP, which is a defunct 1950s technology that never really did anything. The way these are controlled today, the way the storms are controlled, is by satellite lasers that basically short-circuit the electric the vertical electric field, and you can create control storms, move them around, do what you want with them, increase their energy, etc. And that's how it's done. Not with chemtrails, not with HAARP, and not with this kind of magical radiation where there's basically a grid work of supposedly all over the world of radiative, I don't know what, it's like goofy science that supposedly makes hurricanes. And anyway, that is all part of disinformation. It's all part of a disinformation program and designed to snooker a lot of people, and they really do. They really do. Anyway, regarding this listener's question, was this storm controlled? So let me do a little segue here to what's going on in Ohio right now. All of these countries, which are white, mainly white-populated countries, originally white-populated, they've all been inundated within the last 5 years with millions, tens of millions of immigrants. But the situation in Ohio, first the railroad car goes off, and they show the wheel that is dragging. And this should have been, and now any conductor of a train that doesn't know he's got a dragging wheel is just, you know, retarded, because the whole performance of your train changes. And there are sensors. You could think, well, maybe one of these sensors went out. And by the way, these railroads make a lot of money off of internet, because they started out by having sensors, and then they needed their own telecommunications, which was reliable. They did not use radio. They used fiber optic. And so the original fiber optic long-haul networks for the internet came from the railroad businesses, because they needed some stable way of communicating from the sensors. And all they do is they measure the temperature, they measure vibration. So if there's a flat wheel that's clunk, 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 clunk like that, they will sense it. They sense this. And these are all along the railroad tracks. So to imagine that there were no sensors that were set off by this railroad car that was dragging a wheel, and they have videos of it dragging the wheel, and literally on fire, burning metal, burning iron. And so the fire may have been caused initially, a part of it, by this dragging wheel. However, it is now known that the EPA, your Environmental Pollution Agency, went out, and because they wanted to prevent this from getting into the groundwater, set it on fire to burn it off. And that's when the massive pollution event occurred. So not only did it get into the groundwater locally, but it got into the atmosphere and polluted, you know, who knows how much land. There are different estimates. I've seen the atmospheric estimates where it goes all the way up into Canada and then all the way off to the East Coast and then southeast also, all the way over to the Virginias, etc. And so anyway, I mean, just showing how stupid people are. And that's part of what happens when you get like woke Democrats in power. They appoint people because of some, wokeness characteristic, but they don't know anything. They don't know how to do anything. They're just ignorant people occupying offices. And this goes right down the chain of command to the people that simply are just ignorant. That's the nicest thing you could say about them. So they light this thing on fire, causing in much more pollution than it would have caused. And there are companies that specialize in taking this material and sequestering it and getting rid of it. And I know some people that run these companies, and they could have come in and with minimal amount of damage, controlled all of the spilled material. But they didn't. They lit it on fire, causing immense amounts of pollution. Was that intentional? Was this whole thing planned? Then, just yesterday, I believe it was, there's a metal factory that catches on fire also in Ohio. And so one has to ask, what was the metal? Was this a military-related industry? And who's setting these things on fire? Who's causing all the food fires? Food storage, food warehouses, food processing plants, hundreds, thousands of these burning down in the last couple years. And so once again, this is control of the food. But back to this metal working plant, and that's all I'll say about it at this point, all of a sudden just catches on fire and burns. Is this a way of either China or Russia doing something? Because yesterday also, Biden was in Ukraine and he falls down the steps of the airplane. He has a great tumble, and they show the video of him falling down the steps as he goes into Ukraine. This is causing a lot of consternation both in the United States and for sure in Russia, that the president of the United States on President's Day is celebrating in the Ukraine, which of course is a puppet nation now of the United States. It's not NATO. They keep talking about it as if it were in NATO, but it's not. So I'm not going to go into that whole thing, but the reason I wanted to talk about this, because it very much could be related to Cyclone Gabriel in New Zealand, is just another way of punishing and causing retribution on people in countries that, you know, the white Christian are under attack. This is worldwide to destroy them. And this is, make no mistake about it, this is a planned effort to destroy white Christian nations and everything, including the family, on and on. I would simply take it on the word of this person who wrote in. And I don't know, it's to the point, and I'll be honest with you, that used to be possible to use the weather reporting, the satellite data, to determine that storms were manipulated. Like Katrina, it was completely manipulated storm. Or many other hurricanes, it was very clear. But now what they're doing is doctoring the data, doctoring the photos, photoshopping the photos and the video streams from the satellites, and they're not even good streams anymore, where you really see the satellite data. Okay, so at any rate, that leads into the next topic. I want to talk about the mitigation of hurricanes. And so the person writing in about the hurricane cyclone, as they call it in New Zealand, asked about my work on mitigating hurricanes. And this came from the mid-1990s when I was working with Russian scientists. And these are very good scientists. This particular group worked at the University of Novosibirsk in central Russia, and they were the high-level atmospheric scientists basically of Russia. And very honest scientists. Of course, at this time, I had been dealing with NASA, never a straight answer, for literally decades, and all the corruption and lies and bad science and everything else that came out of NASA, and then working with a group of scientists who were actually honest. Amazing. But at any rate, they were translating my theoretical work and on a daily basis this was going on. And then after the classes there, they would meet and discuss my work. And so out of this came some great collaborations, because they had observed tornadoes on the sun, which is another topic I'll be talking about here in a few minutes, because there was another tornado observed on the sun during a passage of the planet Mercury. But anyway, back to the idea of hurricane mitigation. And so out of this collaboration with the Russian scientists came a number of technologies for the control of hurricane, because now we understood what caused hurricanes. And once you understand the science and that it's not caused by warm water or increase in salt content of the seawater, just complete nonsense. It's nonsense to the level of dirty snowball comet model, where you observe comets and you see there's no snow or ice on them and you keep calling it a dirty snowball. That's ludicrous science. What we developed were methods of mitigating and controlling hurricanes. One of them dealt with putting buoys offshore on the continental shelf, because typically, and by the way, New Zealand is not what you would call a prime area for hurricanes. The west coast of Japan, the southwest coast of Asia, and down through Micronesia, etc., those places are ripe for hurricanes and what they call typhoons. And the United States, the entire Gulf Coast and west coast of the United States have been littered with the tracks of hurricanes. And so the point of this research was, and by the way, Russia does not have hurricanes, and so it was in no way of great interest to them other than to help the people in the United States, by the way. So people would say, well, these Russian scientists, they're against the United States. Well, let me tell you something. Russia doesn't have hurricanes. They don't have tornadoes. And so mitigating them would not be any interest to them other than to help the United States. Okay, so anyway, the one technique was to drop buoys which had anchors, metal connecting anchors to the seafloor on the continental shelves, and put arrays of these out there. They could be dropped from an airplane prior to the approach of a hurricane, and then with weather balloons that were also on with conductors. This could be carbon fiber, very lightweight material, and then you would have this array of short circuits to the ground. And what that would do, it would short circuit the hurricane early before it made landfall. But now understand, to do this, you, or to even conceive of this, you had to understand what causes hurricanes. That is a vertical electric field current that drives the hurricane, and not some stupid idea that salt water, warm water, somehow drives this hurricane, which is impossible. It like violates the three laws of thermodynamics, that somehow this warm water can organize into this organized storm is absolutely beyond absurd. But at any rate, that was one of the techniques. And like I say, you had to understand what the cause of hurricanes then to be able to mitigate it. Okay, so that's one thing. And what that would do, it would not completely destroy the hurricane, but it would reduce the energy. It would reduce the rainfall that would cause the hurricane to dump its water offshore. And those are the two biggest things. So instead of a hurricane coming in as a category 3, 4, or 5, where you have hundreds of miles an hour wind full of water with tremendous amount of momentum, then you have the situation where it dumps most of the water and the wind drops down to maybe 80 miles an hour. And so that's going to cause far less damage, because the damage caused by wind goes as the velocity of wind squared. So if you double the wind velocity, you have four times the amount of basically damage. Wind resistance goes as the velocity squared. And so at any rate, and then the density of wind also is a factor. And if you can get the water out of the air, that's what happened, by the way, in Tampa a number of years ago. A hurricane came up the west coast of Florida and was targeted for Tampa, and they kept trying to drag it in onshore and then go up north a little farther, drag it out to sea to build up energy, and then drag it onshore. And what it did is it dumped all the water. So by the time it got to Tampa, it still had 100-mile-an-hour winds, but there was no water. It was just dry air. And so it really didn't caused very, very little damage. And that was a manipulated hurricane. Okay, the second technique for controlling hurricanes, which we developed, was to use lasers. Lasers to discharge the vertical electric field. And if you do it right, if you do it in the direction that you want the hurricane to go, you can actually drag the hurricane around. So anyway, we developed this and then presented it basically to the U.S. military. Now, understand, this is the Russian scientists who have no hurricanes, who do not have cyclonic storms, who do not have tornadoes, trying to help the United States mitigate damage from hurricanes. And the United States military took it and turned it into a weaponized mechanism. And that's when the original laser satellites went up in the year 2000. And by the way, that's when these clowns that are talking about chemtrails and radar and HAARP causing hurricanes, that's when they came in. That's when they started getting support under the table and started creating misinformation around this topic. And, of course, the whole point of misinformation is so that you do not hear the real reasons for the cause of manipulated storms, etc. And so the second mechanism was to use laser satellites to control the hurricanes and move them out into the cold ocean, where then they would mitigate. They would lose their energy and basically be ineffective. You could control where they went, and then just remove the laser beam, and they would just sit out in the middle of the ocean to the point where they would finally go away and die. So those were the two mechanisms for control. And once it was realized that the U.S. military took these and weaponized them, the Russian scientists, the same Russian scientists I worked with, went to the United Nations and requested a treaty to not use weather manipulation as a weapon of war because it attacked civilian populations. And that was one of the original motivations for the Geneva Convention after World War II, was that you do not do things like bomb Dresden. You do not bomb primarily a civilian population out of existence. And so, anyway, that was the motivation for going to the United Nations to demand that they write up a treaty, which they did, and the United States would not sign it. This was under George Bush Jr. when all of this was going on. And, of course, the whole reason was, the biggest reason they wouldn't sign it is because it outlawed not only using it against civilian populations, but your own civilian population. And that's why they wouldn't sign the treaty, because the United States military had full intentions of manipulating storms to attack their own civilian populations in the United States, which started happening with Katrina. These were social experiments, if you want to eliminate, for example, in New Orleans, eliminate the black population of New Orleans. That's what it was meant to do. That's what Katrina was designed to do. And it didn't do it, by the way. It lost energy. And so what they did is the CIA blew the levees in seven different places, claiming that was caused by Hurricane Katrina, which was not true. And it was the flooding that was the major cause of damage there, not the hurricane itself. I saw video footage of downtown, the French Quarter, downtown St. Charles Avenue, there were traffic cameras that were visible online, and the hurricane had done a certain amount of damage, sure, some wind damage, etc., but the town was getting back to normal. There were people walking on the streets. There were streetcars moving. And all of a sudden, boom, that morning, they blew the levee in seven places to flood the lower districts of New Orleans. And that's what happened. So anyway, just complete insanity. So this has been going on, the control of hurricanes, the control of natural, so-called natural disasters, to do population control. Okay, so anyway, that was the second topic I wanted to cover. And by the way, it was back in the early to mid-1990s when I've talked about this before, where the CIA took over NASA and NOAA. NASA, of course, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and NOAA, being basically the National Weather Service, took these over as part of its program to control weather, the weather control programs. And that's also when they initiated a lot of these clowns that are running around, up, jumping up and down, fooling a lot of people regarding chemtrail spraying, etc. And by the way, I was doing shows on chemtrails long before any of these clowns ever surfaced or came out from under a rock. And the way you tell them is they're spiffy websites, the high production on videos, conferences being held all over the place, and money under the table. In other words, no visible means of income. Because I'll tell you, after being in this business industry for decades, it's not a big money maker. I don't make a lot of money. It's many times on a survival basis. So when you see these people making a lot of money, going on tours, holding conferences, thousands of people attending, it's all smoke and mirrors. And the whole point is to distract people from the real issues that are going on. And of course, to catch fish, as there's an expression in this industry, to catch fish, you need good bait. So, of course, they have some material that is legitimate, that's true. But when you get to the punchline, it's all fake. And by the way, that's the point of my new book, which is now on Amazon. You can go buy it there. And yes, I am publishing on Amazon to see how this works. It's called The Real History of Man and Earth, Myths, Magic, and Mayhem. And I'm looking at a copy on my desk here. It's a print version. And very, very well done. I had the cover and the internal part of the book that I wrote, of course, but the production part I had done professionally. And so I'm doing my other books. The Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes book will be out fairly soon, also print on demand by Amazon. And I should mention, as long as I'm talking about these things, the MR5 whole house water filter has, I've reduced the price a bit because it's basically a stock reduction sale. And everybody in retail today, if you're Nike shoes or if you're whatever, sell t-shirts, whatever it is, people are doing stock reduction sales because they just have a lot of stuff in stock, and the economy is, well, let's just put it this way, it's crap. It's completely at a standstill. And so for that reason, I have to reduce some of my stock, which is okay, but you're the beneficiary of that, and you can get the MR5 and the related packages for a better price until I get down to a certain stock level, then the prices will go back up. But anyway, see my web pages, jmccsci.com. And by the way, my new book, you can buy as an ebook on my web page. The benefit of an ebook is some people just like an ebook. And secondly, it has color photos, whereas the print book at Amazon does not have color photos. It has black and white. And of course, on my webpage, you can buy my entire book libraries, which are still my original printed books. So we're in kind of a transition period here. And of course, with my original libraries and education package, you get the CDs and DVDs and a lot of downloadable material that, because on Amazon, I just have the one book. Then that's the brand new book, which is The Real History of Man and Earth, Myths, Magic, and Mayhem. And so eventually all my books will be on Amazon. That's going to be a year-long project to get that done. Okay, so enough of the self-promotion here. Okay, so on to just another quick comment here off topic. Tonight I'm mainly going to be talking about cyclonic storms. The dangers of artificial intelligence. Now, I've been in the computer industry all my life, so literally since I was in college. I taught computer science at the university level for many years. I was actually the head of a computer science department at a university, along with teaching physics and mathematics, and also taught astronomy at the university level. Those are my four areas that I've taught at the university level. But I taught computer science, and I, of course, worked in the telecommunications industry as a top-level engineer for about 25 years of my career. So it's something I happen to know about. And every 5 or 10 years, they used to call them knowledge-based systems. That's the old buzzword. Or there were just various other terms that came in. Now artificial intelligence is another one. Basically, where if you put all the information in the world into a computer, then it holds all the amazing knowledge of the universe. And then humans don't have to think anymore. And that's the Elon Musk version of knowledge-based systems. And these people think, oh, all you have to do is, and it's very simplistic, because if you're anything more than a room temperature moron, you understand that knowledge changes, things change. And so and look at science itself. If you look at space science or astronomy, literally everything that's propounded as fact in astronomy and space science and cosmology and astrophysics today is all garbage. It's just garbage. So this is in AI systems. Now, someone, a friend of mine actually, wrote to one of these AI-based systems, and they asked about me. And it came back. They sent me what it wrote up about me, and it was just all completely false. Completely false information, 100% false information. And so then the person wrote back and said, well, there's some incorrect information here. Is there any way to correct it? And this is the AI engine talking, not some person. Remember, this is the AI engine. And the AI engine writes back and says, no, I'm only able to answer based on my knowledge base that has been programmed. And there have been things done like where they... this is a recent one. A guy wrote in and asked for an evaluation of ex-President Trump. And it said, we do not evaluate presidents. That was the answer. And then they wrote in about Biden, and it came back with glowing praise and pages of glowing praise about Biden. You know, so clearly you have a bunch of wokesters building AI systems, and all of their bizarre wokeness mentalities would be programmed into AI systems and their worldview or whatever. So AI systems are a real danger. I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson say regarding AI, regarding automobiles, get this one. And he goes, well, it should make you feel better that if somebody dies in a car crash when the car is being driven by AI, by artificial intelligence, that same accident will never happen again. Well, isn't that wonderful? But he never considers, the guy is a complete moron, he's a complete tier two moron, never considered the fact that if somebody knowledgeable were driving that car, that accident and that fault in the AI system would not have caused the accident, that the real person would have reacted and prevented the accident. And so some guy dies needlessly in an AI-driven car where he could have prevented the accident himself or herself because of being an experienced driver. And your satisfaction and your family's satisfaction is that that accident won't happen again because AI is supposedly self-correcting. Well, let's put Neil deGrasse Tyson in a car so that he is the first person to get killed by the faulty AI system. That's the solution, like these clowns that say people should go kill themselves because of overpopulation. Well, buddy, you go up to the, I can give you the directions to a nice cliff or you can go jump off yourself. That's how we deal with people like you. And by the way, the world is not overpopulated, believe me. It is going in the other direction. And anyway, that's getting off topic here. Okay, now tonight's main science topic, I'm talking about cyclonic storms. And so I want to go down to the smallest of cyclonic storms. This happened to me when I was pretty young. I used to go up into the Canadian wilderness by myself on canoe trips. And so, and basically experience nature, catch fish, and learn how to live off the land. And of course, this led eventually into the time where I spent many months living in the Canadian wilderness without a tent, without any shelter at all, literally living outside from about May out to into about February is when I finally came back to civilization, got a real job and cut my hair and beard and everything. But anyway, when I was very young, I was on a canoe trip. And typically in the morning, I think this very same morning, I saw a moose standing in the water way down the lake eating. They eat the like kind of plants that grow under the water. And in the little bay where I was at, it was perfectly calm. And now understand that early in the morning in the Canadian wilderness, where you're up very high, you know, you're getting close to the Arctic Circle in some of these cases. You have daylight. Well, let's put it this way. On the longest day of the year, you might have 16 to 18 hours of sunlight and only about 4 or 5 hours of darkness. And even then it's not really dark, and it gets, the birds start chirping at like 3:30 in the morning. That's when it starts getting light out. So anyway, I'm sitting on the bank. I'm sitting on a rock, sitting up over this lake, this kind of isolated bay, and the water is perfectly calm, perfectly mirror flat calm. And there's like a light fog on the water, which typically forms at night when the dew falls, and then it forms this fog. And all of a sudden, there starts to become some movement. And so anyway, what happens is there's slight heat currents that come up, little teeny columns of heat. And they actually connect into the vertical electric field, and it's enough energy for little teeny cyclonic movement in the fog to occur. And these are like, and what they do is as they gain energy, they start to spin around and they interact with each other. And it's like they're dancing. So you have hundreds of these out in this bay, moving around and moving as like a square dance, you know, like a country western square dance, the old western square dance where you go around in a circle and then you change partners and you grab arms and you spin around those partners and then you spin around other partners. And then it's a before line dancing, what they call line dancing is a type of country western dancing. They had the square dance. And so anyway, it looked like a square dance with these little, like little dust devil kind of shaped formations or little tornadoes moving around the lake, spinning and encountering each other and moving around until finally the sun came up and dissipated all of this. So it lasted probably maybe 45 minutes at most, maybe a half an hour, something like that. But I just sat and watched this in utter amazement. And of course, not many people probably have experienced this because, first of all, most people would be sleeping at that time of day. And second of all, you would have to be in a place where it's in a bay or something where it's that calm and not that many people get that far out in nature to experience something like this. So that, in my experience, is the smallest, lowest energy cyclonic storm that I've ever witnessed. And then, okay, now I'm going to talk about dust devils. If you've ever been in the American Southwest or any desert areas, you will have experienced dust devils. So, okay, dust devils are another atmospheric phenomenon that if you look them up today, the official standard science explanation is they don't know. Because these are things that just pop up. They're energy intensive. If you see them at night, they actually have glowing going on inside of them, which is characteristic of the vertical electric field. If you start a fire on the desert, many times you will see the fire turn into a dust devil, and it'll just sit there over the fire. And so at any rate, these phenomena, as I say, standard science does not have an explanation for them because they don't know. So at any rate, these dust devils occur also on Mars, and they can be enormous on Mars. They can be absolutely huge. And can if you happen to be living on Mars and get caught in a dust devil, it's going to be bad news because not only do you have wind, but you have dust. And if you know, if you want to know how to take the paint off a car, that's basically a sand blasting, it's called. And so a dust devil would do that. If you had any kind of structure on Mars, it would take the paint right off of it. So if you had NASA written on the side of your spacecraft, or Elon Musk, or SpaceX, or anything else, there wouldn't be any paint there. In fact, most of the metal would be gone in short order. People that live on the desert that have to deal with these things, if you get caught in your car in a dust devil, it can be bad news. It can cause a lot of damage. And as I was mentioning, you can see them glowing. So you can actually see the vertical electric field, electric discharge interacting with the atmosphere, causing a glowing sensation. It's the same with tornadoes. If you see a tornado at night, it'll be glowing. It'll be like a neon light on the inside, which tells you that there's an electrical current there. Okay. And by the way, the huge winter storm up in the Midwest right now is a giant himmicane. It's a cyclonic storm coming in. It's full of atmospheric water. And it's basically an overland hurricane, which in my weather book I called a himmicane. So at any rate, these are all cyclonic storms, is my point. So from the very little princess fairy instead of dust devil, you call them water princesses because they're so magical. And also, just to mention a few other phenomena before I forget, the Valkyries of the Vikings were referring to the auroras that occur up in the sky, and they considered it was the reflection of the gods warring up in the atmosphere because, of course, they didn't understand about atmosphere and atmospheric electricity, etc. So they interpreted it in terms of their mythology. And also, let me go back to the Moses event when Moses was leaving Egypt with the Israelites. For a day or so, they had a column of fire that extended up into the heavens, and that was the electrical discharge between the passing comet Venus and Earth, and that literally extended up into the sky, and it blocked Pharaoh's armies from getting to them for the period of about a day. And of course, when that snapped and went away, they had time to cross the Red Sea, which had been sloshing back and forth because of the gravitational wave of the passing comet. And when the water sloshed back, it consumed Pharaoh and his armies, and they, in fact, have found those chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea. Pretty much preserved, because there's, they were made from what I understand of a lot of brass or bronze or those types of metals. At any rate, these are all related to cyclonic storms and vertical electrical currents. Okay, so after mentioning a few of the things I'll be talking about before the show ends, back to dust devils. And so basically, a dust devil is initially caused by an electrical discharge. And in all of these cases, whether it's a hurricane on the ocean, whether it's a low-pressure cell on Earth that's a wide scale, for example, a hurricane causing this tremendous snowstorm up in the upper United States, southwest, all the way up through the Midwestern states, these are all caused by vertical electric fields. Now, in the case of the low-pressure cell, those extend all the way out into outer space. These are connected, there's a picture I drew, I believe it's in the weather book, the Principia Meteorologia, the Physics of Sun-Earth Weather Book. That book was published in like the probably 2004-2005 time frame. And I talk about the cyclonic storms, the hurricanes, etc. And there's a picture there that shows these connections, and it looks like a leech. If you've ever seen a leech connect to, say, a fish, what they do is they grab on and they kind of float out from the fish, and as the fish swims along, they kind of move it with the movement of the fish. And that's what these tentacle-like electrical connections are like, connecting to our upper atmosphere. These have actually been measured. The very first measurements were by a physicist, a very good physicist named Lou Frank from the University of Iowa, who actually detected the water influx into the Earth's upper atmosphere using ultraviolet. Nobody really understood what caused these. At first they said, well, maybe they're little dirty snowballs hitting the Earth's upper atmosphere. But that didn't make any sense, because they're not little pinpoint areas of water. They're big, broad areas of water. So nobody really knew why these were connecting. But that's Earth acting as a comet, discharging the solar capacitor. And that's what causes them. But they also connect electrically down to the troposphere, to the surface of the Earth, and cause these large-scale low-pressure cells, which is the cause of this big snowstorm that is occurring in the central United States right now. Once again, a cyclonic storm. And, of course, with a lot of moisture. In the summertime, it would be just like a lot of thunderstorms. It would be a big line of thunderstorms. But in the winter, you get the freezing snow. You don't get the thunder so much. You can have thunder in the wintertime, but it's pretty rare, and you get this tremendous amount of snow coming in. Some of that snow, the water is coming from outer space. Not all of that water is in the storm system that comes from the ocean. So that's another thing that very important to understand. And isn't it interesting that you listen to this show? I don't have government funding. I don't have sponsors. I pay for my own airtime, and you have to listen to this show to understand what's going on in the weather. With all of the mega, mega, mega money being put into the NOAA and the National Weather Service and the weathermen, the weather readers out there, not a single one of them can tell you why the weather works the way it does, what causes hurricane, what causes dust devils, what causes anything. because they don't know. Isn't that the most bizarre thing you ever heard of? The science of weather is so misunderstood. People have no idea what's going on, yet they're broadcasting on national, international TV, radio, other media, it's the internet, and literally have no clue what's going on. And you have to listen to this show that I pay for myself to really understand what's going on. You know, it could not be more bizarre, but that's the world we live in. Okay, back to dust devils. On Mars, these things can be miles, tens, hundreds of miles high, actually, extending almost out into outer space, but being driven by electrical currents, because Mars is acting as a comet, discharging the solar capacitor also. On to another type of tornado on the sun. Now, these were first discovered by Russian scientists a good 10 years before NASA happened to notice them. And that was one of the big reasons why the Russian scientists were very interested in my work. It was one of the very first things we discussed was the cause of tornadoes on the sun. Because you literally see, okay, you have the sun, you have the surface, you have flares coming off that arch over, and but all of a sudden you have these tornadoes. They're literally a tornado that races across the surface of the sun. And so what on earth is that all about? Well, when they understood that the sun was putting out a non-uniform electric field, and the discharges were causing these tornadoes. And of course, they would move because there's an electric current moving in the local magnetic field of the sun. And you could, all of the properties of the tornadoes on the sun can be explained with my work as being electrical discharges. And the same situation where the ions are coming up the column and they rotate because of the Coriolis force. The same issue as with dust devils, with tornadoes, hurricanes, cyclones, typhoons, whatever you want to call them. The water, the spinning cyclonic water princesses, fog princesses in the Morning Lake in Canada, all of these phenomena stemming from the same phenomena. And then we have Tunguska. Tunguska is a site in Russia, of course, where certainly most of you have heard about this. It's a site where there's was some kind of explosion, and but it leveled the trees in a circular pattern, where the trees are simply scorched and blown down for 50 miles around, and broke windows 100 miles away. It was a tremendous explosion, but the when you search on the ground, and these scientists that I worked with in Russia were there. They were the scientists that went out to explore the Tunguska site with modern equipment, with modern, with modern knowledge, the point that they had, and there was nothing there. The idea that then an asteroid came in and hit, there was nothing on the ground, there was no crater, there was no physical evidence of an asteroid. And then some people claim that it was like an airburst where an asteroid came in and blew up in the air. But still, all of that material that made up the asteroid would not just vaporize and go up into space and away. It would be splattered all over the ground, including small pieces. They found nothing, not even the smallest piece. They found no atomic record or molecular record of anything at all there. And so the central location, there was actually a second one a little ways away. And so they realized that this was due to an electrical discharge. And part of the local, the story of the locals there was that then the nights before and the nights after the big explosion, the night sky lit up. And so that means that we were in the tail of a comet. Because this small comet was coming by Earth, and the electrical discharge from the comet is what caused the Tunguska event. Once again, an electric field, and would have caused the burning, you know, just like a lightning bolt, but literally a lightning bolt millions of times more powerful than any lightning bolt on planet Earth. So anyway, let me see if there's, I mentioned the comet of fire, the pillar of fire, as they call it in the Bible with Moses, as the comet Venus came by in that case, and other atmospheric phenomena. If you see a tornado at night, you will see electricity. It'll light up like a lightning, like a neon light. And there are people who, there was a guy who actually had a tornado go right over him. He lived through it. And what he saw was a lot of lightning internal inside of the tornado, looking up through the tornado funnel itself. And so then, of course, hurricanes are caused by the current in the vertical electric field also. Okay, so I just have a couple minutes here. I wanted to mention a lot of the religious activity and mythology is related to these types of events. And just recently, there was a sunspot, AR3242, I wanted to mention, very bright UV. So we're heading into this solar cycle where we're starting to get X-class flares. One just missed us the other day. And so it did cause a lot of shortwave radio blackouts. And so we're heading into this part of the solar cycle. And so the last thing I wanted to mention is the planet Mercury. There was a photograph of it crossing the solar disk. And in the background was a solar tornado. Interesting, but nobody talked about the solar tornado. They just talked about Mercury crossing the solar disk. But there was a beautiful example of a solar tornado in the background. Pretty crazy. Anyway, just remember the webpage, jmccsci.com, where you can find my new book, ebook format. You can find all my libraries. There's also a link to the water filter page. And the water filter page, jmccwaterfilters.com. And once again, the pricing on the MR5 greatly reduced. And the filter packs, etc., if you already have an MR5, greatly reduced pricing. And that's, like I say, that's a stock reduction pricing. And when we sell a certain number, then the pricing is going to go back up to normal. So you can save hundreds of dollars. Now, once again, jmccwaterfilters.com. And I'm out of time. We'll talk to you again next week. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.